We are looking at some texts in the book of Deuteronomy that are quoted in the New Testament. And I skipped ahead a little bit. I've skipped a couple of those texts that are found in Deuteronomy 17. We'll come back and pick them up at a later time. We're turning this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And the texts that are quoted in the New Testament are verses 15 and 19. Deuteronomy 15 and Deuteronomy 18:15 and Deuteronomy 18:19, and they're quoted in Acts chapter 3. So we'll be looking at Acts chapter 3 also. How many of you have had questions about the future? I see that hand. Well, yes, you have had questions about the future, as I have had questions about the future. Where am I going to go to school? Younger folks ask. To whom will I be married, and how do I determine that? Other folks ask. Where will I be living? What kind of employment will be suitable for me? And the questions go on and on, do they not? Well, have you called your psychic reader to ascertain the answer to these questions? There are some 900 numbers. I guess they're those kinds of numbers, and they're advertised at various times on television, usually late night, and you can call, and at least the advertisements say that you can find out the answers to these questions and find the suitable mate and also find the suitable job, and joy will ensue. And the testimonies are quite interesting if you listen to them. But what does the Bible say about these things? And is it not true that Jesus Christ, when we follow Him, this great prophet tells us all that we need to know about this life, about our future, and about the life to come? That's the perspective that the Bible gives us. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. That we need to follow the chief prophet, Jesus Christ, and we will know all that is necessary for this life, for our future in this life, and for the life to come. Now, we won't have all the answers in intimate detail, but we will have sufficient information. This is the perspective of the Old Testament, and it is the perspective of the New Testament. So let's look at the Old Testament and what Moses has to say in Deuteronomy, what God has to say really in Deuteronomy to the people of old, and how it applies to you and to me. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Are you to call your psychic reader? Absolutely not. Any questions? That's what the Bible says. These are detestable things. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. And there were kings of Israel who actually sacrificed their children in order, they thought, to bring about a good result in their rule in the kingdom. An abomination. And what about divination? What about trying to seek the things that pertain to the future and draw back the veil regarding the future and using magic arts to do so? There are some towns and communities where you can go and see the tea, the people who read tea leaves and the readers, etc. They're lined up. Divination of every sort, witchcraft of every sort. Not too long ago, there were articles about individuals in the armed forces who gathered together to have a Wiccan party, a party that had to do with witchcraft, and it was permitted. Imagine this. Various types of divination. Those who interpret omens and sorcerers, who cast spells, who go to mediums, those who think that they can draw back the veil and talk to the spirit world. Do you remember the witch of Endor in the Old Testament, who conjured up a spirit and Saul thought it was the spirit of Samuel? An act of the evil one in deception. And there are those who say they do such things today. And again, the Bible calls all such things detestable before the Lord. I'm fascinated by the fact that in our era, it is much like the New Testament era, in that there is much that has to do with spiritualism today. And there are many who are going after, even in academic circles, these ideas of spiritualism and conjuring up the dead and using mediums and Ouija boards and such things. Again, detestable before God. What's the alternative? God calls us to look to His prophets, and specifically to His chief prophet. Again, in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among you from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This week I spent a little bit of time going back and reading over four sermons of John Calvin on this passage of Scripture. And they're available in a facsimile edition of Old English translated from French. So it's kind of fun reading these sermons, and they're quite lengthy. I don't know how the people tolerated those lengthy sermons. They had to be at least an hour as Calvin spoke to the people. Of course, they didn't have all sorts of other entertainment to go to in those days. So this was in 1555. They didn't have amusement parks and television and movies to go to, so I guess they tolerated their preacher a little bit better than they tolerate the preacher today. At any rate, Calvin works over this text. And one of the ways he works over this text is to point out the fact that God is pleased to speak through human vessels, through prophets. And this was the case all through the Old Testament era. And this was the case into the New Testament era, and this is the case today, as Calvin has it. And even as I think about that, I tremble. Because there are stipulations that are set forth with regard to these human vessels. Look again at Deuteronomy 18. Verse 19 says, It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, that is the prophet, I myself will require it of him. Now that's a word that has to do with those who listen. And then there's a word that has to do with those who speak. Verse 20. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall surely die. In other words, it's an awesome thing to be a prophet of God. And Calvin has it that the preacher is the modern day prophet. And so I'm swallowing hard. I really am. And what Calvin is saying, and I think it's true, which comes out of this scripture, that there really is an interaction that takes place between pastor and people, between prophet and people, between the Word of God which is spoken and the people of God. There's a transaction that takes place. There's something that occurs because it is the Word of God that God is pleased to use to change the hearts of men and women. And so it's not an idle thing in which we are engaged as we're together. It's a good thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. We come together to meet with God in worship and in prayer and in His Word. And we come before Him to hear Him. I'm included in that. And I thank God that this is the case. Preeminently, it was the purpose of God to speak through a particular prophet in a profound way. And this is what verse 15 tells us. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. The prophet par excellence. And we see who that prophet is when we turn in the New Testament, and we'll do so momentarily. But let me add this, that it was, according to Deuteronomy 18, always the plan of God to speak through His prophets. And this, I think, is a profound thing. Let's read again in Deuteronomy 18, verses 16 and following. This is according, that is, the prophet will be raised up, this is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or else I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. It's a very, very interesting thing that God says of the people of Israel before Mount Sinai. When the people said, Moses, you go up and speak to the Lord and then come down and talk to us so that God will not speak to us directly, but be the mouthpiece of God. And what was God's response? That's a good thing. It is good that it should be so. And dear friends, that's an indication of the fact that it was in fact God's plan and purpose not only to speak through Moses, but to speak through other human vessels, His Word. And He has done so. Well, let's move on and see what the New Testament says about these words in Deuteronomy. Please turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I appreciate the reading of the Scripture, the reading of the Word of God, and the context here is the miracle performed at the hands of Peter and the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And there was astonishment in the crowd with regard to this wonderful healing. And Peter proclaims the Word of God, and he preaches Jesus Christ. Verse 17 in Acts 3. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did. But the thing which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. First of all, I simply want you to see that the prophet Moses speaks of is Jesus Christ. Peter proclaims the Christ who died and rose again. And he said that we all must follow this Jesus Christ. And he then spoke these words from Deuteronomy, saying, Moses told us, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me. And the reference is to Christ. Christ the prophet, sent by the Father to reveal to us the will of God for our salvation. Promised from of old. And that's the first thing we should see in this New Testament text, that it is Jesus. And then the next thing that we should see in this New Testament text is that it is Jesus, the prophet, to whom we must give heed. Look at what Peter says again. Let's read from verses 19 and following in Acts chapter 3. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that He may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed, to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Listen to that prophet who is Jesus Christ. And we ask the question then, do we not? How is it that we listen to Jesus? How is it that we do listen to Him? How is it most intimately and most directly, most profoundly, that we hear His voice. How is it? How do you answer that question? Well, I want you to look at another New Testament text with me. Keep your finger there in Acts, would you please? And turn back to 1 Peter. The little book of 1 Peter. And the very first chapter of 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Peter talks about the prophets. And he's talking about the prophets of old. And listen to what he says about the prophets of old. They spoke of salvation. Verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and of the glories to follow. Who was speaking in the prophets of old? Peter says very explicitly it was the Spirit of Christ who was speaking in the prophets of old. And when Moses spoke from the mountain, it was by the power of the Spirit of Christ. And when Samuel spoke in the Old Testament, it was by the Spirit of Christ that he spoke. And when Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel spoke of the glories which would come and how Jesus Christ would be revealed, when Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 53 so specifically concerning the things of Jesus, it was the Spirit of Christ who was speaking. And when Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi spoke, it was by the power of the Spirit of Christ. And I point this out, dear friends, because what they have spoken is recorded for us. And so what we have in the Scriptures is none other than the words of Christ. And so when we come to read the Scriptures, and when we come to study the Scriptures, and when we come to hear the Scriptures explained, it is the Word of Christ which we hear. And I'm amazed at this because when you turn back to Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and you look at a couple of things that Moses says. Verse 18 in Deuteronomy 18, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. It wasn't just the thoughts and just the ideas that were put into the mouth of our Lord, and it wasn't just the thoughts and the ideas that were put into the mouths of the prophets. It was the very words. And so there's an idea here of verbal inspiration. And there's the idea that when we read the Bible and when we listen to the words of the Bible, we listen to Christ. We listen to that great prophet of whom Deuteronomy 18 speaks. and we hear Him. And so, what's the bottom line? Well, I said we'd go back to Acts chapter 3, and I do want to do that because there are a couple of verses that are important. One of the things that Jesus Christ says to us is, in verse 19 in Acts chapter 3, "Therefore repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Dear friend, what do you need to know about the future? You need to know that there are times of refreshing at the hands of the Lord through repentance and faith as you come to Jesus Christ. That's what you need to know. You need to know that when you pass from this life into the next, you will pass into the glory of God in heaven. You need to know that and have that assurance. That's what you need to know about the future and about the life to come. You need to know that if you follow the great prophet Jesus Christ and apply yourselves to His Word, looking to Him, praying, seeking His face, that the little difficulties, the little problems, and the big problems too, in the providence of God, will be properly resolved as you follow Jesus Christ. That's what you need to know. And that's what I need to know. And not a whole lot more than that. And so, you don't need, late at night, as you watch the television advertisements, to be suckered into calling one of those 800 numbers or 900 numbers to talk to the psychic reader. You don't need that at all. What you need and what I need is Christ and His Word. And I tell you, dear friends, we have the promise in Deuteronomy and the fulfillment in Acts of Jesus Christ giving us His Word. And not only so, we have the promise presently of this Word being given to us in our very hands. And this Word opened to us as we study. And the Holy Spirit coming to us to open our hearts and minds. We have the promise of hearing Jesus Christ and knowing for sure that our future is settled, and knowing for sure our place in heaven is settled. That's what we need. Jesus Christ, our prophet. Let's pray again. Father, grant that we might hear your word. Not because of something I say, but because of what you say in the Scripture. Brought home to us by Christ, by the power of the Spirit. May we worship you. May we live for you. May we love you. May we adore you. May our hearts be full of your word and of your Spirit. And may we hear by your word and Spirit, our prophet, Jesus. Hear us, we ask, we pray. In his name, amen.